You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, welcome to HR Bandit. This is Apoorva, and I'm so glad to have you join us for our best one yet. If this is your first time here, a big welcome. And if this is you returning, an even bigger hug to you. So spring has sprung, and for me, the Formula One 2025 season has commenced. A lot is happening along with all of that. I will also be back in the office by the time you tune into this episode. And let me just say that I'm both excited as well as nervous about juggling full-time work while caring for a six-month-old. So March has been super busy. Ankita, what news caught your attention?
Well, there's a lot of work news happening, and a lot of it is the usual around work from office, AI, and layoffs. So for a change, we were struggling to find our third big story that is not one of these. But just as we were about to give up, a big one caught our attention. So here's what made it to a top three for the month. First up, one Indian CEO decided to pull an Elon Musk and asked employees to submit a weekly email on what they did that week. For our second story, software startup Rippling accuses its competitor Deel of orchestrating trade secret theft and corporate espionage. And for our last story, it looks like the workday is finally beginning to get a little shorter for Americans. However, work aside, it is also the end of the first quarter of the year. Now, studies show that most new resolutions break by the time we hit mid-Jan, and by March, they've almost all dissolved into nothingness. Those who've stuck so far, or the goals that have stuck so far, will hopefully stick. Apoorva, we've talked about our goals on the pod before. I know with a newborn kid, it's hard to keep goals and resolutions, but apart from restarting HR Bandit, is there another goal that you've picked up for the year? We can be accountability partners.
So one of the things having a baby has helped me master, something I haven't been able to do all these years, is ruthless prioritization. So my goals for 2025 are far and few, and I have a very simple and straightforward fitness goal of averaging at least 8K steps daily. I think I'm somewhere around 6K right now because I'm mostly cooped up at home, but just keep walking when I can is my fitness mantra for this year.
Well, two things. First, I'm really glad that this podcast made it through the cut of your ruthless prioritization. I would have been left alone otherwise. And as for your 8K steps a day, you know, that's one benefit of working from the office. I do 8K just walking up and down. So I'm going to extend my goal a little further. Now, if you recall, last year I said I would run 10 kilometers. That did not happen. So this year we're going to try again. Now I'm currently at a very measly 4K in comparison to the goal. So we'll keep running. So Apoorva, you keep walking, I'll keep running, and hopefully we'll get there.
Yeah, so it looks like both of us at least have resolved to get a little fitter this year, and let's see what happens. Anyway, with all of that aside, Ankita, please take us to our first topic.
And I will. Okay, for our first topic, it is Kya Chal Raha Hai, which loosely translates to what's up in English. Now, Bhavish Agarwal, the CEO of Ola, an Indian multinational ride-sharing company, sent some shockwaves when he announced a new initiative called Kya Chal Raha Hai. This requires employees to submit weekly progress reports via email detailing their achievements in 3 to 5 bullet points. Now, this move, reminiscent of Elon Musk's management style, aims to keep both Agarwal and managers informed about employees' work. Employees are instructed to send these updates before the end of each Sunday using the subject line weekly update. Concurrently, Ola Electric is reducing over 1,000 jobs across multiple departments, including procurement, fulfillment, customer relations, and charging infrastructure, in an effort to address rising losses. Now, Apoorva, I have a lot of views on this, but before I launch into them, give me yours.
If Elonization was a real word, this move by Bhavish is exactly it.
Something similar is being done even with the federal workforce in the US. So Ola Electric, which is a company owned by Bhavish, has had two waves of layoffs as its losses surged by 50% in the quarter ending December 24. And looks like Bhavish is taking a page from Elon's book to improve efficiency. But what I fear is that an approach like this not just erodes employee trust, but it also risks increasing micromanagement. And I hope that this information is not being used to determine who should be laid off, because if they do that, I think it will actually increase inefficiency, as people might just start making work up for the sake of it, so they have something to report in this weekly email. And I would be really worried if the CEO of a company is actually spending time sifting through these emails rather than running their company.
So I have no idea what Bhavish was thinking when he was introducing this initiative. I'm assuming that no one's doing what they're supposed to do, or like, something must have gone wrong somewhere. But here's my controversial opinion, right? Like, on most weeks, I create a to-do list for the week, and by the end of the week, have a fairly good idea on what I achieved and what I haven't. So if you asked me to take a moment to write 3 to 5 bullet points on what I achieved, it wouldn't be hard. In fact, in the world of software engineering, weekly sprints do just that. They allocate tasks for the week. In most jobs, it isn't difficult for an individual to state what they achieved in a week. So, like, I don't think that data is very hard to come by. And if someone can't produce that, then of course something's wrong. However, there are other mechanisms that exist. So I would assume in one-on-ones, managers would know, sprint planning meetings would have it. So there are two parts of me. Like, one, I'm not sure what the uproar is about. If this was introduced in my organization, I would be upset, but like, I would type it and send it into whatever email ID you wanted to. So if the CEO wants to adopt a crude way of driving accountability as an experiment, I'm not that bothered. But what I am really curious about is, A, if it is an experiment, if they are doing it for a limited period of time, does it actually push up productivity, accountability, or anything else? But who the hell is reading those 3,000 plus emails every week? Like, is he going to lay off a whole bunch of people while hire a whole bunch of other people to read these emails every week? What are they doing with this information? Like, it just, I don't know what the process is behind the whole initiative. So I am curious, but yeah, like, it just seems like creating more work without very clear outcomes.
Yeah, and I don't think the issue really is about how much effort it takes for employees to write these emails. Like you said, if even I had to put something like this together, I don't think it would take me a lot of time. But I would be super upset if the CEO of a company is asking me to do something like this, because this shows that the organization is operating from a level of mistrust, that it's not trusting me as an employee that I'm really doing what I should be doing.
Yeah, so probably
Bhavish's move shows he neither trusts the employees, nor is he trusting their managers who are supervising those employees to do their jobs well. So it really is a failure of the company's systems, and I don't think a CEO's office needs to be involved in tackling something like, I mean, the CEO's office should get involved in tackling something like this, but not in the way Bhavish has.
Maybe he will write his own 3 to 5 points every week and share it on LinkedIn for us to see. Like, that would be something, like, lead by example.
Yeah, I would wait for that. Anyway, with that, let me take us to our second topic, which is the one that landed in our list of topics just as we were giving up on anything exciting happening in the month of March. So HR software startup Rippling has sued their competitor Deel in a federal district court, claiming that Deel cultivated a spy to orchestrate a trade secret theft. Sounds like a plot of a Mission Impossible movie. Rippling's general counsel sent a letter to 3 Deel executives that referred to a new Slack channel, and the Deel spy, who also happens to be a Rippling employee, quickly looked for it. Rippling subsequently served a court order to the spy at its office in Dublin, Ireland, requiring him to preserve information on his mobile phone. The Deel spy lied to the court-appointed solicitor about the location of his phone and then locked himself in a bathroom, seemingly in order to delete evidence from his phone. All the while, the independent solicitor repeatedly warned him not to delete the materials from his device and that his non-compliance was breaching a court order with penal endorsement. The spy responded, "I'm willing to take that risk," and then fled the premises. So Ankita, I can read the entire plot, but what do you think about this?
Go on, Apurva, we don't want you to stop. Now tell us where he fled from the premises, where he went to, what happened to the phone. I'm waiting for the plot twist.
So for that, we'll have to watch the court proceedings. So the suspense continues.
True, yeah. It is so fascinating. And I think the part that really made me laugh out loud is that Deel has posted this on their blog. Like, there's a whole page on their website that sensationalizes it in a very weird way. But two things, right? Teal refuses any wrongdoing by saying, I quote, weeks after Rippling is accused of violating sanction laws in Russia and seeding falsehoods about Deal, Rippling is trying to shift the narrative with these sensationalized claims. Now, this is what a Deal spokesperson told CNBC in an email. We deny all legal wrongdoing and look forward to asserting our counterclaims. So that's one. Second, this isn't Parker Conrad, who's also Rippling's co-founder and CEO's first legal entanglement over data access. In 2015, ADP dropped a defamation suit that claimed his previous HR startup, Zenefits, had obtained information from clients in order to provide them with payment processing services. And third, like, I have not come across a case of corporate espionage since this podcast began. So we've never covered anything like this here, which is almost 4 years now. And in fact, I don't think I remember a case of corporate espionage as sensationalized as this in my entire career. So this does sound like something straight out of a movie, even with like the character quotes and comments. So it is 2025 and corporate espionage is no longer done by sneaking contracts out of office buildings or installing malware on your competitors' computers. Looks like Slack messages are the new target.
So Deal and Rippling both compete in the HR tech space. And what stands out, that these are huge corporations. Like, each of them is worth $12 billion+. So as companies focus on efficiency, I'm sure HR tech investments are taking a backseat. Now, this is just a hunch. I have not looked at numbers. And as a result of that, the space is getting more and more competitive, which is prompting Deal and Rippling to take drastic measures. And in this case, they've taken, those measures have really gone too far. But I really wonder if, given we are seeing so many smart AI agents also coming into play, if this is going to lead, we're going to hear more about such news in the future where an AI agent is deployed to steal trade secrets, which would be even more harder to track. So I really think companies need to invest in better internal controls and technology that can detect such spies as well as malwares or spywares in case of agents. And I just hope we don't see a trend where companies start setting up their own spy agencies, because I think the last thing HR teams want to do is maintain a log of 007s in their organizations.
Maybe that's also why Google is trying to acquire Wix again this year after the deal not going through last year. But let's see. With that excitement out of the way, let's move into our last and final topic, which is not as exciting, but still as remarkable. Now, according to a new report by the workforce analytics platform ActiveTrack, the average American workday now ends at 4:39 p.m., 36 minutes earlier than 2 years ago. The report tracked the workplace behavior of over 200,000 employees across 777 companies and found that in 2022, employees would log on by 7:56 a.m. and finish by 5:28 p.m., but by Q4 2024, the average workday was 51 minutes shorter, lasting from 7:49 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And much like every other report that has studied reduced working hours, surprise, surprise, productivity went up by 2%, highlighting a trend towards efficiency and flexibility in modern work schedules.
So it's been a while since we've spoken about reduced working hours. And in the past, we've spoken about the four-day work week when we mentioned reduced working hours. But while this isn't that, it is still a step in the right direction. So a few things that caught my attention in this report were, number one, remote yields better productivity. So remote-only workers have the highest productivity, plus 29 minutes or more versus other worker types. Weekend work continues. So 5% of employees work on weekends, while the percentage itself is not high. This is up 9% since 2023, with some patterns that vary by business size. So even though the workday is ending early, we are seeing a trend where more people are logging in on weekends. Lastly, what stood out is that AI usage doesn't lead to shorter workdays. So AI users show consistently longer workdays, which is 8 minutes more and lower focus time. So this could be because AI usage is leading to multitasking, which lowers the focus time and chips away at productivity. So all in all, I think a key takeaway for leaders from this report is that where employees work from doesn't seem to impact their productivity. And hence, when companies say that they want to impose strict RTO mandate to improve productivity, they really aren't accurate. And I think we have reason to believe this report because it has been done on such a large data set.
Yeah, that's something we should show Jamie Dimon maybe. But to be fair, like, I think productivity is one aspect. The report doesn't really measure innovation, which is harder, or employee engagement. So I am really curious, like, I would love these studies to talk about more than productivity, because I think organizations are starting to quote other reasons for pulling people into the office. So we want to see whether it helps across all reasons. But what stood out for me in the entire report is the call out on focused 24-minute spurts on productivity. Now, it looks like Americans have truly embraced the Pomodoro technique, which, to be fair, is one of my most loved productivity hacks. And I genuinely believe it works, even if sometimes the delay between my two bursts is embarrassingly long. So I was very glad to see it in this report, and it felt like some kind of weird validation.
I've heard so much about Pomodoro. I've never tried it. Maybe now is the time to do so. So Bandits, that was our March roundup. Kya chal raha hai? Shorter work days and corporate espionage. But aur kya chal raha tha? So what else was up in the world of work in March? In our previous episode, we covered the leaked audio of an outburst by Jamie Dimon, JP Morgan's CEO. Looks like he heard us. Because in March, he admitted that he should have never cursed and he shouldn't get angry the way he did when an audience question regarding return to work triggered him. Second, Google co-founder Sergey Brin said that Google could lead the AI race if only its employees worked harder, saying that 60 hours per week is the sweet spot of productivity and that everyone should be in office at least every weekday. Lastly, Meta fired 20 employees for disclosing confidential information. An all-hands meeting was recorded, exposing Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg's candid remarks about TikTok, AI, and the company's future. So there you go. That's an amazing end to the first quarter of the year. And I can only imagine what the rest of the year is going to bring.
Well, we'll definitely know what happens in the rippling deal story. And we'll let you know here, Bandits, on what the outcome is and if it actually gets turned into a movie. So whatever happens in the next few quarters, Bandits, you know we are going to be here watching and reporting. Before I get us out of here, Apoorva, March 8th was many things. It was also International Women's Day. Now, an organization called Founders, in partnership with Microsoft, launched an AI Skills for Women course, which is free to take. Now, Bandits, as always, all links are in the description. Now, I have enrolled into this course, and this is our little nudge to you that irrespective of your gender, why not take some AI-related course this month?
Angita, it feels like every time I talk to you, a new thing gets added to my to-do list. But I'm not complaining about this one, and I am definitely going to aim completing this course before March ends. Or at least started before March ends. March is also celebrated as Women's History Month in the US, Australia, and UK. Every year there's a theme, and the theme for 2025 is Moving Forward Together, Women Educating and Inspiring Generations, which celebrates the contributions of women in education, mentorship, and leadership. So I'm taking a moment this month to reach out to people who've been my mentors and leaders who really inspired me and thank them. And Bandits, do let us know in comments what's the one thing you all have done or would be doing in observance of Women's History Month. So that's all for today. Ankita, please get us out of here.
Great show today, Apoorva. As always, Bandits, if you enjoyed this show, do not restrain yourself from leaving us feedback or a comment. On that note, on behalf of NHRDN and Apoorva, this is Ankita and we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.